Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I could shake them off their carnal foundations. And I say, if you're a woman and don't bring forth a child, you're going to die and go to hell. You see, and then there's women that are barren. They think, oh my, what is this? I purposely say those things to shake people. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. And if I don't bring forth the heir to the throne of God, I have no inheritance. Now, you've heard me bring this out before. If you go back into the Old Testament, and these women were brought into a cleansing ritual, for 1 year they were separated from everybody and everything. But they put them through these washings and rituals of cleansing and stuff, and they got them ready to give them to the king. And the king would have relation with them. Amen. Why did they show this in the Old Testament? Because it's a shadow, brothers and sisters, of today. And today we are the bride of Christ, and we've been prepared by the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been washed without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And we've been made pure and clean and holy, a virgin. And we were taken before the King of all, Jesus Christ. We sing songs, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he's our King, amen. And we're taken in before him in purity and righteousness and holiness. And he goes into relation, the woman saved. This is why the bride was saved. This is why the woman was saved, for childbearing, for God could reproduce his image. But see, the woman would never give me a chance to speak. She was her arrogance and her perversion and her demons and her devils. I never got a chance because it works in all three dimensions. You know that I bring everything down. Naturally, the woman, Eve, the first woman, first dimension, water world. She was in the transgression in the fall. Adam wasn't. And God could have said, you know what, woman? You have defiled all of my word and mankind, and I'm going to smite you off the earth. But he couldn't do that. Eve was saved in childbearing, for Adam could reproduce his image. And why could Adam reproduce his image? Why was it so necessary that Adam reproduce his image? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for a bride. We got to learn to gender dimensions. See, I stand before you and say, I'm a son of God. I stand before you and say, I'm the bride of Christ. I stand before you and say, I've been grafted in, a wild tree by nature. I stand before you and say that I've been adopted. I stand before you and say, I've been born into the kingdom of God. These are dimensions that we must understand. And people that don't differentiate their dimensions are walking all fuddled up and crossed up and fighting and kicking against the pricks and kicking against Jesus' name revelation. But they don't understand. They don't perceive. They don't know. They can't differentiate dimensions. And they'll dispute and fight and puke and vomit and lap up the vomit. It's a sad day we're in. It is a sad day and hour that we're living in. So I brought out the dimension. Eve saved. Why mankind? Now we go on to the next thing. Man. He said he repented that he even made man. But then yet he saved man, mankind now, for reproduction of his image. So then he had to come and shed his own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, and made them pure. And then, because they were cleansed and made pure through the ritual of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And then he comes among them as he catches them away, second dimension, second heaven, catching away into this marriage place, into this marriage of the Lamb. There was a warfare and a travail, yes, against the red dragon, against this first birth. That's why going down through the Old Testament, there's bloodshed, 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 bloodshed. All the way through the Old Testament. Blood, 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 blood. All the way through. See, when that last seven comes back in, there's going to be blood again. Because it's going back to fulfill the first dimension. It's going back to fulfill, and that's why the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. That's why men are going to be paying with their own blood. You see, because the seven was taken apart of the 483. And that seven's going to come back in, and there's going to be the finishing of it. When the angel stood with one land on the sea and his hands lifted up towards heaven and declared that time is no more. And that's where we're at now. Say, oh no, I see time. I see the sun going around and around. That's because you're carnal. You're in the mind of humanity. But in the mind of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that time has stopped. That seven set apart. And we're in the church ages. You understand that? In this dimension of time. But when that comes back together, they're going to see Lord Jesus with the nails prints in his hands. It says what? A crucified afresh. Because that element of the church age is done. Away. It's caught out of there. And it comes back together and they see him with the nail prints in his hands. Crucified afresh. Just like right again for the finishing of all things. You see, but where are you at now? What dimension are you in today? Where do you walk at? Are you a son of God? Are you led by the Spirit of God? The Bible said you know that you're a son of God because you're led by the Spirit of God. If you're not led by the Spirit of God, then you're not a son of God. People, well, you know, I'm not sure what I am. It's easy, I know. If you're led by your flesh, by your desires and doing what you want, you're caught up in your careers and your business and all the things that you do, you're carnal, you're the manifestation of death. Well, what are we? We're sons of God, we don't work, we just walk around and pray all the time? No, the Bible said we're always about the Lord's business and a continual mind of prayer. But when you're so carnal and you're out there and you just deny the things of God, it don't matter if you're in church or if you're not in church, you're just here, you're there, you're of the devil. Oh, that offends me. Well, good. I hope you're offended because you're going to die and go to hell in your mind. Get out of that mind of carnality and that mind of death and come to the mind of Christ. You wouldn't be offended. I tell you, I'm alarmed, saints of God. I'm alarmed of what the things I witness, the things I see. 1 John 3:2 said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Again, I brought this up. It's not some future thing. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now this is bringing out the dimension. The world, don't see you as a son of God. And they'll mock you. You say, I'm a God. And they say, oh, you're a cult. Jesus said, hey, isn't it written? He said, but you die like men from a lack of knowledge. This is the knowledge you need to come to. This is the revelation you need to understand. This is something you got, or you will die like a man. I've already died. I've already passed from death unto life. We need to understand the mind of Christ. We need to understand the revelation of the Lord. We need to understand what it means to be crucified all the day long. We need to understand that if there's a daily crucifixion, there's got to be a daily resurrection. If there's not a resurrection, then there would be no victory over death. If the carnal mind is death, and if you kill out the carnal mind, there's got to be a resurrection of another mind. What mind is that? The mind of Christ. The one eternal mind of revelation. The eternal mind of Christ. You see, when these things don't move your spirit, when these things aren't a drawing to you, it's because you've exercised your mind. You've exercised your will. You've exercised, well, who you are and what you want to be. We don't want to be anything but Him. We don't want anything but what He wants and what He desires. When you seek after Him first, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. You see, people hear me preach, say, well, what are we supposed to do, Brother Rob? You know, we're supposed to just stay home and fast and pray all the time. You know, we got to work. We got to make a living. See, on the other hand, I'll get in another dimension with you. And I say, well, if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. Well, you know, but I don't understand. We go out and get a job and then you're rebuking us. I'm not rebuking nobody for having a job. I rebuke people when the job has them. And when the job owns you. And the job sets your time and sets your schedule. Yeah, I understand 8-to-5 job that they're going to set your life and you're going to give that part to that. And you're going to do it as a testimony unto Christ. You're going to be on time. You're going to show yourself faithful. You're going to work hard. You're going to go the extra mile. And even when they mock you and laugh, you're going to smile and you're going to go on. This is because you're a Christian and you're showing the love of God at work. So your work still is a testimony of Christ Jesus. And people are under conviction by your life. And people are being drawn into the kingdom of God while you're at work. But when you yield your mind to it and submit to it and subject to it, then you are of the devil. Say, I don't understand it. That's why I'm preaching like I am. Because some are bound. It's obvious who you're bound to because it's who you yield your members to. When God comes second place to you, you know, the things of God just don't mean that much to you. You know, it's like, well, you know, hey, I go to church on Sundays. The devil's in every church service every Sunday. Going to church isn't the answer. It's the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, the walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. So what if we're led by our own carnality, by our own thought? Then you're Antichrist. What if we're doing our own thing? You're Antichrist. What is Antichrist? It means God ain't there. Well, I think we can have our own world and His world too. Then that's lukewarm vomit and you're being puked out of the Lord's mouth. You're a stench in the nostrils of God. You ever smell vomit like smell? Oh boy, that smells good. Who puked in here last night? Nobody likes the smell of puke. When you're intermingling with both worlds, He says that you're lukewarm and I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's how much God despises vomit. He despises it. You know, the dog returning to its vomit, a dog will lap it up and like it. A human or a God? Surely not. I mean, even a perversion of a human being. The Bible teaches in some place says, doesn't even Mother Nature itself say this? I mean, doesn't even Mother Nature say that you ain't going to go out here and puke on the ground and lick it up? Come on. You such gross allegories and thoughts to express the things. We need to understand the mind of God. We need to understand what God thinks about you in your first birth, in your mind, in your carnality, in your concepts, and in your religion. He can't stand the religion of this day and hour. He's so angry with the religion of this day and hour. He's so vexed with the religion of this time. I'm telling you, it's a vexing thing to God. You know, I love fellowshipping in the Word and in the Spirit of the Word. And you know, sometimes you try to introduce something like maybe something way lighter than what I presented to you today to people, and they start crucifying you and finding fault with you. This church that Irene's brother went to that just passed away over here, they had a pastor in there, he gets in adultery. Oh, he leaves that church and goes 20 miles down the road and starts another church. Why do the people go to a church like that? Because they're filthy, perverted whores. And you say, that's strong, Brother Rob. No, it isn't. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. Why do people go to Joel Osteen and places like that? Because they're perverts. And they have a love for the world. And they want some preacher, just like the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the Pope is Antichrist. Why do people go to that? Because they want somebody to tell them that they're okay with God. Why they live with the lust of their flesh and the pride of this life, and they live like dogs. And they go and say, oh, just count your beads and say your Hail Marys. Well, the Pentecostal churches of America have become that. You know, they come in and say, oh, we plead the blood of Jesus over you. Then they find fault with me when I say you come to a place in the Spirit that you can't be pleading the blood of Jesus. And you say, well, you're taking away the grace of God. They're going to know the grace of God is taken away. When it goes through this metamorphosis, there is going to be no grace to them. They're going to be thinking about the grace of God and throwing their money to the bats and crying out for death to come on them, and they can't even find death. This is what's going to take place. And I know that we got to keep dimensions on and say, well, we don't need the blood. I never taught that. I never said that. You can only be in the Spirit by coming through the blood. Water, blood, Spirit. You are not in the Spirit unless you came through the blood. As I brought it out with Cain and Abel, that he brought the wrong sacrifice when the water world was violated and done away with through the violation that took place in the garden. Then another covenant came and it was blood shown forth by the animals being killed and then being covered with skins. It showed the next covenant, the blood covenant, bloodshed all the way through the Old Testament from that point forward until Jesus Christ, the ultimation, the finalization of the blood covenant, shed his blood. He wasn't satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, but he had to take Jesus and crucify him. And he shed his blood. That was the finishing of the blood covenant. That's why he said that we've abolished death. Because it was the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ that abolished death. And when death was abolished, so we got to bring it to a revelation by abolishing the death of our carnal mind, our carnal concepts, our carnal thoughts, and of our world. You say, well, Brother Rob, I don't even want to go to work on Monday, man, the way you're bringing things out. No, what I'm telling you is you don't go to work on Monday. You're a son of God and you're in the ministry and you're there fulfilling, showing the love of God by fulfilling your obligations and working and doing better than anybody else does in your work. If you're an employee, you're going to be the best one they've ever had. When they turn it into a thing and put you doing things that defy the Spirit of God, then you've got to go. Well, I have to work. You ain't got as much faith of a sparrow. Are they putting any thought for tomorrow? He said he closed the field with the flowers and the grass and things like that. The things of nature, they're not even travailing. You know, I mean, some of them have more sense. I mean, a squirrel's at least storing some nuts away. I tell you, creation rebukes you. The thing is, like I said, if you're worse than an infidel if you don't have a job, don't work. So am I against work? See, this is why I say people struggle with dimensions. I know you have to work. I work all the time. We have to work. I understand that. But you don't have to get into the mind of work. I know the Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. The positive mind of Christ or the mind of revelation, you will be a worker and a better worker. This doesn't do away with that. But there's a difference. You see, a man's wealth could testify against him on the day of judgment and put him in hell because he sought after wealth. Another man's wealth could testify the provisions of God because he wasn't seeking those. He sought after God and God added those things to him. Let me tell you, that makes a difference. It's a total difference. I watch some people that aren't really developed in their mind yet, in the mind of Christ. And God, by the love and mercy, because they're his children, and he blesses them and gives them and gives them. And then they take the things that he gives them and they turn around and curse him with it because they become more important than him. And they cherish their homes and their businesses and the things that he gave more than him. And then they lose it all and they dry up and they die. You see, it's better to sacrifice it all. If God gives you something, give it back and say, Lord, this is yours. I'll be a steward over it, and I'll do the best that I can with it. Please help me. I'm telling you. Nothing, not one thing that you would say that I own that I wouldn't walk away from and give up today. I don't care. There's nothing in this world that I would not do that. Because this world is not mine. This world isn't his. Satan is the god of this world. That's what the Bible teaches, the prince and the power of this air. I'm not moved by his world and his kingdom. I come and toil in his kingdom and labor and work. But I bring forth the invisible kingdom of our Lord and our God by crucifying and sacrificing this man on a daily basis. Oh, you done pretty well last week. You killed old brother Rob out. You know, you kept him under subjection. You done pretty good last week. So today, I'm just going to turn on old brother Rob and just have a good time. I can't say it. I don't. Words, vocabulary, expression. I say things that draw people up. I say things like faggot and queers and homos and whores and harlots and stuff. And I mean people cringe in the church. They go, man, I can't believe he's saying that. He's so disrespectful. I'm sorry. I'm not going to fit their mold. I'm sorry. I've never fit their mold. And I'm not going to. They got their little angels wearing diapers, playing little harps and shooting bow and arrows. They call that heaven? Where did that mind come from? What kind of mind is that? Some little naked baby flying around shooting bow and arrows. This is heaven? Brother, there's a heavenly place, a heavenly mind, a heavenly thought, a heavenly revelation. It brings peace. It brings revelation. When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when your enemies are pursuing you, trying to kill you and destroy you, you're walking in peace with no fear. They can't do nothing to me. They could kill me. There's people that hate me, brothers and sisters. I mean, there's people that despise me and they sit in churches on a daily basis. You know, I mean, they're so angry with me and they can't stand me. And you say, well, why, Brother Rob? You know, if you had the love of God in you, because Jesus said they hated him first, they're going to hate you also. The religious people do not like me because I don't fit in their little stereotype mold with their lukewarm puke and all their perverted ministers that are so wishy-washy, and Lord's allowing them to come up into a forefront with this woman, Joyce Myers, walking around with her masculine spirit, a devil, with their little sissified guys like Joel Osteen walking around with their little tweedly eyes, and these people like the Jan Crouches and all them. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you just got off the wrong side of the bed, I guess you might say, huh? No, let me tell you something. I am so sick and tired of the religious puke. And they want to come into this church. They want me to give them a plateau to preach in. And I'm a soul winner. I'll set them down in my home. And I'll try to indoctrinate and teach them and try to lead them out of the muck and out of the mire. And I ask you all sometimes to bear with me because sometimes I got to reach out to them. But they're little tiny babies. And they're shallow. Oh boy, you got so much revelation, Brother Rob. I told you when I started this out, I'm shallow. I feel so small in God. But I'm looking to find fellowship with somebody in our mind. I got people that come around me and they want me to talk about mysteries. They want me to talk about revelation. They want me to talk about these things that are so unclean and filthy. And I'm not going to talk about the mysteries of God with perverts that are so filthy and so ungodly. And they want to talk about revelation and they don't have the revelation of holiness at all in their spirit nor in their heart. And they're perverted and they kill, they steal, and they destroy. And they come around and look at you like they're better because I'm not talking about the mysteries and talking about revelation. And I am not going to bring it and cast the pearls to the pigs and to the swines. And I'm not going to put it down in the vomit while they're lapping it. It just ain't going to happen. And I'm starting to understand Brother Pike more and more every day. And the thing is he said, those people up there don't need revelation. They need holiness, Brother Rob. And the thing is, brethren, I teach holiness, but I love to talk about mysteries and revelational truths and revelational things. Because the Bible said, when you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, when you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, you shall be filled. Amen. I can't apologize for preaching strong and the reproofs and the rebukes, and I will not. But I love you all. I wouldn't offend anybody purposely. But the thing is, as an old brother and a dear friend said, if you could be offended, you need to be offended until you could be offended no more. Man had an understanding and a revelation. Man fell away in immorality as a young minister. Went off into adultery and things himself. I'm not sure, like say adultery in one of his books. I didn't know this, but I read in one of his books many months back. Shared some things that took place. I don't know if he went into adultery, if the Lord caught him before he did. Even the prodigal said he desired to eat the husk and the thing. It didn't say he did. So I don't know how that for sure. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, it's our obligation, our duty to draw, to press into the things of God and the kingdom of God, and to understand these things. And the doctrines that we've sat under and have been taught, we need to have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I preach holiness is a superior thing, but don't misunderstand that, because when you get holiness, then you're a candidate for revelation. But if you take revelation outside of holiness, you'll find yourself spewed out because you can't intermix them. So I preach holiness in this church. I demand holiness and I press. I found myself making allowances before and it cost me, hurt me, hindered me. Holiness is the main thing that you must have. And when you find that you're pressing into holiness to the best of your ability with all sincerity, then you can start coming to some revelational mind and mindset and thoughts. And as I expressed, I find myself very vexed and grieved in my spirit when I try to fellowship with people in some elementary biblical truths and they reject it and they don't understand dimensions, dispensations, nor do they understand the chronological order of God at all. As I showed you today in the book of Revelations, how you find chronologically in one chapter all the dimensions of God in one chapter. But people read it from the first to the end and try to put it in a chronological order, and it's wrong. You can put things in a chronological order, but that's not the way it is in God. In the Spirit, you lose chronological order because there's no time. There's no seasons. There's no darkness. So we fade away the chronological order of things, and then you start seeing things in all. You see it all fulfilled in one thing. You see the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis, and you see him all the way through the book of Revelation. You see the bloodshed, the crucifixion, and the resurrection all the way through the Bible. You see it all the way through. And when you keep the book of Revelations in a chronological perspective, and you put this marriage supper of the Lamb as a future thing, you've made Jesus Christ a whoremonger. When you say that you're a son of God, you made him a whoremonger because you don't believe that the marriage has already taken place. He said he's married unto us now, healed our backsliding, married unto the backslider. And you say, well, the supper's just a celebration later. Get your dimensions in order. Brother Branham didn't see it this way, and Brother George did. I'm not saying I'm better than Brother Branham. I couldn't hold, as I said, a candle to him. But the thing is I thank God for exposing and showing this to me. The ministers, the doctors, the theologians, the evangelists, the television evangelists, they would disagree with me this morning, fight me. They would come against me, and that's okay. It's hard to find people that could fellowship with you, walk with you, and agree with you. I look for ministers out there online, trying to just fellowship with them in very elementary things, and they fight me. And I think I just back off. They can't see. They don't perceive, nor do they understand. And I know it sounds like I'm blowing my horn, so to speak, and saying, oh boy, you're just better than him. I'm not talking about me. I'm small. I'm the least. I'm talking about them. They ain't got nothing. They're in darkness, intellectual darkness, and been blinded by their own carnal minds. And they've made every spiritual revelation, every spiritual thing of God, they've brought it to natural. I remember Brother Colin Nunez handing me a book down in the basement. I've shared this with you. And this was, you know, by some theologian that studied the Greek and the Hebrew. And he opens up and it said that the serpent, when Paul reached into the fire to grab the piece of firewood, that the viper, this was their definition of a viper, that the viper come out and bit him on the hand. And then he went into his carnal concepts. He said that they released all the venom, striking at the flames of the fire, and that's why Paul wasn't killed. You see, if that is what the masters and doctors of theology could come up with, it's dead. And it's wrong. As we had a doctor with us not too many days back, and his wife commanded the house. That was just a manifestation of showing something. His wife, probably a pretty nice lady, all in all, if you'd submit to her. She could probably be real nice. But when you resist that old devil, man, it flares its whole head up. And it's spewing its vomit and venom and everything else. I never really got a chance to rebuke her, and I wanted to, but she wouldn't sit still long enough. You see, we need to learn to be able to take reproof and rebuke. We need to be able to sit under and stand in it and say, hey, you know, I've had Brother George rebuke stood and I said, okay, and I dropped my head, innocent. That's the proper way to do things. But when you're always trying to defend yourself, you got something living that ain't supposed to be alive. Well, I'm not wrong. I was right in this. You see, Jesus was not wrong. He was right. He never spoke a word. What dimension are you putting Brother George in that? It had nothing to do with Brother George. It had to do with me. And the thing is I did miss God and I did deserve a rebuke because I entrusted another voice and another mind. So yes, I stood guilty and I did need to be reproved. But I was maybe not guilty of what he thought I was because I was submitting to one of his elders. And his elder didn't have enough backbone to say, hey, he done what I asked him to do. I was the one in error. I had a pastor, and when I should have submitted to him. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not finding fault, Brother George. I'm talking about you needing to die to your will, your desires, your wants. You need to die to your careers, to your businesses. You need to die to everything. You understand that? If you're married, you need to put your wife on the altar. If you're a woman, you need to put your husband. When you're trying to rule and headship, if you're not doing it in the mind of Christ, it ain't going to work. I know what order is. And sometimes when there's out of order, it's only the simple reason God's showing the other dimension out of order in the order of what you see with your eyes. So we need to learn to look beyond the veil. We need to learn to see by the mind of Christ and the eyes of the Spirit. We need to learn to remove ourselves from the carnality of the carnal mind and remove ourselves from the blindness of the intellectual mind. And we need to make sure that we're not eating at the tables with the doctors and the theologians and the television evangelists and the ones that are out there with fame and popularity, the ones that got these great callings. A man came to me and he said, man, I've ordered this guy's books. Boy, I want to be just like him. I wanted to burn his books and vomit. I'm sorry, it sounds offensive. Well, do you think there's any pastors out there, Brother Rob? I don't just think, I know there are. There's wonderful men of God. Maybe some of them don't understand some of the things we're trying to talk to you about, but they're wonderful men of God, and they love the Lord, and they're walking to the best of their ability, and they're only accountable what God has brought to them and exposed them. But they need to be careful because they can get sucked up. Well, if they get sucked up, as you would say, or caught up in this religion, it was just to be made manifest that they was never of them. I say, yea and amen. I don't teach their backsliding doctrines. I don't teach they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't teach that foolishness. As I told you the other night, a man trying to tell me that Holy Ghost-filled people be in hell. And he fought with me over Holy Ghost person being in hell. Come on, does that make any sense? Brother Pete and myself talked about that for a moment. If there's a Holy Ghost-filled person in hell, it's the same way as Lord Jesus went through there to redeem something that was lost. They ain't going to be bound there, I'll promise you that. Amen. I'm Holy Ghost-filled, and I'm in the hell of this world with its slop and its perversion, with its fervent fire of lust and perversions. But I'm not being touched by it or scarred by it. I don't smell like it. I don't look like it. I don't talk like it. You say you're a son of God and you're so worldly and so in tune with the fashions and the dress and you want your Tommy Faggot figure jeans and your whatever them guys are. And I know that sounds so rude. You're just worldly and you need to come out of it. I don't care about their form-fitting clothes and their prestige and fly something and projecting some queer. You know, I don't watch their nonsense, but most of the clothing designers are a bunch of perverts and queers. So why would I want to put their name out on something and say, oh boy, look at this. It's just the devil marking them that are his. I just spoke with a man that says he's going to be a minister and called minister, and he's still marking himself up and tattooing himself up. My calling is to the youth and do this and that. When you got a calling on your life, you're not going to be marking yourself up like some kind of animal. Beasts are the ones that mark. It's a beast mind. And I know I got many of you in here with tattoos, and that's offensive, but you've done it out of a beast ideology and a beast mindset. When you get born again and saved, you come into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. And you won't do those things because you understand what they mean. We're in the day and the hour, brothers and sisters, the mark of the beast. And you say, well, I don't know about that. I do know about that. And this is why God suffers people to do that, because they're just being made known of what they are and what they always have been. So we got to come out of that. Let's sing a song, Brother Ann. Just remember to try to put all these things together, that God was, God is, and God is to come. The main importance is we got to bring the revelation forth of the one that is. For we can know who we are now. I'm not looking at what I'm going to be. I'm knowing who I am now. And trying to bring the revelation and the manifestation of this world, that they could be caught away now. Before I close the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask a question, and I'm not going to keep you long. I know it's right here, time to close, and you're not going to offend me. I don't want you to leave. You know, Jesus perceived in their thoughts when he said certain things to the disciples. He said, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. And he looked at his men, the brethren, and he saw that they were troubled and worn in their spirit. They went to ask one another, like, you know, and they were thinking. He said, hey, I perceive the things of your heart. The thing is that we teach differentiation, we teach dimensions, we teach heavens, we teach allegories, we teach types and shadows, we teach mysteries. And the thing is we're to be, and according to the word, stewards of the mysteries. We don't hear the mysteries going forth a lot, and they find fault with the preacher. But I refuse to speak about some of the things that I desire to speak about because of the condition that people are in. And when you're not walking in the holiness and the virtue of God and the righteousness of a resurrected life, and walking in the purity and the sanctity of the sound mind of Christ, I could share with you people, I could call some names and bring some personalities. Some of you know. I've watched them want to talk about the depths of revelation and get into things, and they seemed to be so sincere. And the Spirit of God was so vexed and so grieved because of the condition that they was in. You see, Jesus isn't going to go into the relationship with something that's not clean. And you say, well, we was all made clean and pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, and see, I can't dispute your thoughts there, because he did cleanse and he did wash. But then yet, when we step into the next dimension, it says we're making our calling and erection sure. And when you go back and read some of the things we read, it talked about the bride made ready. It showed there was some preparation even on the woman's part. And you go to the Old Testament, the woman had things that she had to do, even when she went in to be prepped and cleaned. Now you're going to say, well, you're crossing some dimensional lines here, brother, because I believe that we were washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I said, yeah, and amen. But I bring it also into the second dimension of a place of works on our part to yield forth the fruit of what he had already done. I started out bringing that out, if you remember. Jesus was crucified before the world ever was, so we'd say it wasn't necessary for him to come to the cross 2,000 years ago, because it was something done before in the foreknowledge of God. No, it had to be fulfilled. It had to be fulfilled now. Or in this 2,000, it also has to be fulfilled now, because we're in the Spirit. So there's a crucifixion on a daily basis. Was, is, and is to come. Don't forget it. He is, he was, and he is to come. You got to get in that mindset. And see what happens, because you're not in that mindset, you speak as a man. You think as a man. You walk as a man. And then you try to conform this man into religion. And you try to think that's the transformation of mind. And there's some truth in your ideology. But then yet, on the other hand, you're so far from the revelation of what and who you are. Brother Pete was sharing where he said, Brother George asked his brother, he said, do you really believe you're gods? And he said, come on, brethren, do you really believe that you are gods? How many of you are walking as sons of God today? How many of you walk like sons of God and believe you're a son of God? You know, if Brother Ed was my accountant, and he said, Brother Rob, you got $1 million in the bank. I do. You know, I could either go on like I don't believe him, and it could sit there. Or I could say, I do. Hey, man, praise God. I think you would probably see something different, maybe. It shouldn't be. Maybe that's a testimony or a confession. But I can tell you what. I know a man that's got $1 million in the bank and does a little bit differently. He don't frequent McDonald's as much, maybe, as we do, huh? You say, I know millionaires go to McDonald's. I don't think they frequent it too much. I think you'd know, wouldn't you? You'll know a son of God when you see him. Sons of God walk like sons of God. Why? Because they're led by the Spirit of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Why? Because we're led by the Spirit of God. And I know how the Spirit of God leads. It doesn't lead us into some of the things that we're involved in and some of the things that we're doing. That's not the route of sons of God. Now, let me say this for the fact of a son of God. Sometimes he learned obedience by things he suffered. We could find that we might find some things, but we're going to come out of those things. We're going to come through them victorious, because we're more than conquerors. Yes, you might stumble, you might fail, and you You're going to press and you're going to go. You don't yield to it. You don't submit to it. You don't give up in it. We endure to the end. We fight the good fight of faith. We keep and continue to press. We're crucified all the day long. They crucify us. Crucified from your friends, your family. They lie against you and speak all manner of evil. When my sister came here, Billy's mother, she used to love to get with the brethren in church and tell about my ignorance of a childhood. I've never tried to hide that. I was an ignorant heathen. But she just loved, man, you know what he done, and you know what he done, you know what he done. But see, it was a demon spirit in her that was trying to crucify me. You know? That's why the Bible said you get out of the land of your kindred. You go on and go to a place and go on, and we talk about who we are now. I don't meditate on what I was. When these preachers want to get in and say, oh, I was a heroin addict and I'm a dope addict and I this and that. And it's just miring and the same old thing all the time. You know what? Thank God you was that, but you've been set free and washed in the blood. Yeah, we should have a testimony. But my testimony, I've said this over and over to you, it isn't about being delivered from drugs or delivered from alcohol. My testimony is more like being delivered from the business world. And you say, oh my. But I'm going to go beyond that, being delivered from the religious ideology of these other preachers and television evangelists. That was one of my greatest conquerors and greatest deliveries. To come out of the mind of the world church and the religious ideologies of this guy that you met the other night that was bound in theology. Let me tell you something. I don't think you need to know how to read Hebrew or Greek to have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll promise you that. And you don't have to go and know how to do those things. Yes, there should be something in your spirit that likes to dig and pull things apart and look at it. But you're going to have a revelation mindset when you're doing it, not some intellectual concept of a compiling of information for you could go to somebody else and put some diploma on your wall and say, yes, bless God, I'm a theologian. I don't like theology of what they've got. They've studied it so much and made God so intellectual that they've left the revelation and the simplistic things of the gospel of being led and walking in the Spirit. I love y'all and appreciate you. I thank you for coming out this morning. God had his way in a small flock, had his way showing some things. Let's find ourselves drawing and pressing and hungering and thirsting for the invisible things. And when you draw and hunger and thirst for the invisible things, they become no longer invisible. They become something that you see and perceive and understand and comprehend. If I told you I've got in my hand $1 million right here, Brother George wore a ring. Nobody could see it. He said, the angel of the Lord put it on my finger. See, that doesn't move nobody. They think, well, you know, if he would have come put a ring and had a big diamond on it, a big stone and gold, so man, I had this thing evaluated. And it was worth, man, it's a, you know, a jewel from old times and it's worth $1 million. That would move people. And I think, man, this guy's out of his mind. Why does he say stuff like that? Why does he say he's got this ring? Nobody can see it. I never seen it. You see, but we are moved by visible, tangible things that are the vanity and the lie. But the thing is there was a significance of those things. And when you learn to walk in the Spirit, then you'll see things that have been given unto you. You see, do you have the sword of the Spirit in your hand right now? But God told us to, that we need the sword of the Spirit. Do you have the shield of faith? See, the people don't see this and they think that you're weakless. But he said, my weapons are not carnal. But do you have the shield of faith? What if God exposed every one of us right now to what we really are? How many of us would be standing here naked tonight or today? How many of us would be standing here in nakedness? Some would say, well, I think if he exposed me, I'd be seen in that pure as white, the garment, you know, and being as the bride. Or maybe would you be seen as the offspring of the bride, the heir to the throne of God? Seen as a more than conquering sonship with masculinity and strength and power, or maybe with a shield of faith in hand, a sword of the Spirit in hand, and a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Well, is that the way you'd be seen? You know, or would you be seen as a serpent on your belly slithering along the ground? What would you be seen like? Do you ever think? Do you ever consider that? You hear me make statements from the sacred desk, say, brethren, we as the Christians of America, including myself, we're a bunch of sissies. Well, I'm upset because somebody set my pew, or I'm upset because they didn't ask me to sing, or I'm upset because they did this, and I'm upset. You know, come on, where is our strength? You know, when somebody thinks they're supposed to sing and have to sing, a lot of times the Spirit of God will move away from that because it's the wrong thing that's motivating them. But when they see that somebody wants to worship the Lord and not their self, not their image, not their ability, not their skill, and it's just, I want to worship the Lord. Please give me a chance. You got a chance when you're in the pews. When Brother Ed starts playing, well, I don't like the way he plays. Well, you got a problem then. You should be able to worship the Lord and lift up your hands and just say, I love you, Lord God. I praise you. I worship you. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my King. You're my salvation. Amen. And I know we have to perfect. We got to get things perfected. We got to bring our music into perfection. We got to bring our singing into perfection. Yes. I don't think they're going to be all out of tune in heaven. No. You know, but I'll tell you what. We need to learn to worship God. I want my life to be a light. I want it to be an example to them that walk in darkness. I want the light of the glorious image of God, Christ, dwelling in me to eradicate the darkness of my life, of my mind and my thoughts.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.